Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. I certainly had been in hopes that our nation was moving together in wiping out the coronavirus, or more accurately, protecting ourselves from having the coronavirus wipe us out. I cannot today report hopeful signs. I trust that I can enlist all who listen to any of these messages to pray for the world and the world's medical care workers who continue to be challenged by the COVID-19 pandemic. Daleville Christian Church marvels at modern medicine as a modern miracle, but a person will have to use modern medicine to benefit from it. Modern medicine, insofar as it is true, reveals a true God. In the Lord, there is hope as we proclaim our faith from 2 Thessalonians. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you all as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And through belief in the truth, He called you all to this through our gospel, that you all might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's gospel in the 25th chapter, one of Jesus' parables, and kind of a long one, going from verse 14 through verse 30. Jesus said, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him. Give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. So what is the Bible talking about when we read it? Jesus' master on his lips says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." We can see the word slothful in the Old Testament. In Proverbs, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." And also, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." You remember that slothfulness is one of the 7 deadly sins. Jesus, in his story, calls the servant wicked, evil, slothful. And in Jesus' time, we can be pretty sure what Jesus meant. But with regard to work and ideas like diligence and slothfulness, we have seen the very definition of the word work change in our lifetimes. Work in our lifetimes was farming or agricultural. Then we became industrialized, manufacturing. The factory and the systematic factory found its way into other industries like food production, frozen dinners. Remember the automat? No, the automat was not McDonald's, but before McDonald's was the automat. The automat was basically a fast food restaurant where simple foods and drinks were served by vending machines, which establishments also provided for patrons to sit and eat their meal. They could have a quick lunch without having to go through the process of ordering and waiting for the meal to be cooked and then having it served. Automats were around before World War II, but they provided consumers with a real experience of industrialization and removing people from what was considered a labor-intensive work. At one time, there were 40 automats for just one company in New York City. The last one closed in 1991. Almost all of those automat locations in New York City were converted to Burger Kings. Fast food companies put people back to work behind the counter again for your meals. But the meals were, and still are, highly industrialized. And that brings us to the changes in work in the 21st century. Before the pandemic, the unemployment rate was the lowest since 1969. In the U.S., the unemployment rate before the pandemic was the lowest since 1969. You have to be 60 years old or older to even try to remember what that was like back in 1969. But the U.S. economy had constant growth for 10 years beginning in the middle of 2009. And despite the pandemic, or because of it, everyone now can have a part-time job if they want one. The pandemic brought job losses, but it also brought job changes. Working from home, finding more and safe, healthy childcare, especially for essential workers' families. Some businesses that had been a novelty before the pandemic became considered the safest businesses in a pandemic. How about a robot hotel? Yes, a robot hotel. Not a hotel for robots, a hotel staffed by robots. First opened in 2015 and began because that business location had trouble finding people to work. And as far as anyone knows, robots can't spread human viruses, only computer viruses. Now, a robot hotel sounds great unless you're a human being that works in the hospitality industry. So here I am, a pastor born in the middle of the 20th century, the son of a farmer whose dad farmed without a cell phone or GPS. In 2021, I'm talking about robot hotels. Has or has not work changed in the United States in our lifetimes? So what's the Bible talking about when we read it? Jesus' master in today's reading stated, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." We find it throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 10, through laziness the rafters sag, because of idle hands the house leaks. I like that picture of the results of slothfulness. As I mentioned, slothfulness, one of the seven deadly sins, and I like what one source said, it's the most difficult sin to define. Slothfulness is the most difficult sin to define. Sloth isn't a sin you do. Sloth is when you don't do anything. That's slothfulness. Because the sin of sloth refers to an assortment of ideas dating from antiquity and including mental, spiritual, and physical states. One definition is, and I like this one, slothfulness means an habitual disinclination to exertion. Isn't that great? Slothfulness means an habitual disinclination to exertion. I know all of you are thinking of somebody you know right now. You can use the word laziness. Now, Christian views concerning the virtue of work, work that supports the society, and work that furthers God's plan here on earth, that suggests inactivity invites sin. Idle hands are the devil's playground. We may have to change that phrase in the 21st century. It seems to me that computer keyboard hands are the devil's playground. So sloth and slothfulness have more to do with inactivity, no matter what the activity is. That's in keeping with its original relative word. The words slow, slothful, and slow are related words. Sloth has to do not just with tardiness, but with a lack of attention, simply not caring. Slothful means you have any goal of quality assurance to any undertaking. Or we could say, you're not even trying. That's slothful. Now, the Old Testament is mostly condemning the slothful person for slothful work or tasks either not done or not done well, not done correctly, not done in a timely manner, as in, how long will you let the roof leak? And when you decide to fix it, will you fix it for good? Or will you be slothful about it? Now, Proverbs 24 gives a fairly complete picture of sloth. I passed by the field of a sluggard. What a great word. It's a great insult, sluggard. I wonder how many people today would know it was an insult. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man without sense. And lo, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber. And hence the sin of sloth was born. But let's notice what Jesus was saying. Jesus' teaching is aimed at us, we followers of Jesus. It's aimed at those of us still waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus, Master of our lives. And the question Jesus poses is this: in settling accounts with servants who were left a treasure in trust, how did it go while the Master was away? The servants all report. The third servant reports he was afraid of losing even some of what he was entrusted with, saying, I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. Although the master gets his one bag of gold back, the master calls the servant not overly cautious and not prudent, but rather wicked and slothful, or wicked and lazy. The laziness and slothfulness are the qualities of evil that the servant demonstrates. Now, this judgment to some of us appears overly harsh. And maybe that seems true only if maybe we do not know the true value of our treasure and the true results of the servant's failure. Maybe this judgment seems harsh if we don't know the true value of our treasure and the true results of the servant's failure. Now, some consider the treasure in Jesus' story that is left to the believer to be the gospel itself, the gospel message. And that is in part true, but the church tradition saw slothfulness as a sin much more than a failure in evangelism. Why? Because the followers of Jesus have been given more than the gospel message. The followers of Jesus have been given the Holy Spirit and the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. Sloth ignores the gifts of grace given by the Holy Ghost: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, piety, fortitude, and the fear of the Lord. Such disregard of sharing these gifts slows the spiritual progress of the believer. How can a believer grow in grace without exercising the gifts given them? Sloth ignores the gifts of grace, and sloth ignores God's provision in giving those same gifts. If you are slow to share with those in need, you demonstrate a doubt for God to provide for you in your time of need. I remember that in junior high, our youth group was sent out to trick-or-treat for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. I'm sure that there were some folks in my hometown who thought it was a communist front, a godless communist front. But the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore, and donations can still be made today to UNICEF's global and domestic programs, such as aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina. But there we were, junior high Gary, trick-or-treating for UNICEF in one of the nicest neighborhoods in town where we had been assigned. At one door, I was asked what the money was for, and I said it would help the poor. And the man answered, "But we're the poor people." At that moment, I was standing in the doorway of one of the newest and nicest homes in town. The man's wife didn't think her husband's joke was so funny, if that man meant it as a joke. The man's wife put some money in our offering boxes. Jesus is asking, how do you respond to what has been given you? And you must remember, this is so not about money. The true story I just told you was an example of a man not knowing what he has. Oh, we're the poor people. What are we doing with what Jesus has given us? You've got to understand, the early church didn't have financial resources that they were keeping to themselves and not giving to the mission. So, that point of Jesus' story being about money doesn't really fit the early church. But the gifts of the Spirit certainly do. And they fit with us also. What are we doing with what Jesus has given us? Someday we shall all be asked. What are we doing with what Jesus has given us? Someday we shall all be asked. Our Lord Jesus considers this time of Jesus' earthly absence as a time of testing, not a time of resting. The folding of the hands to rest, the resting of the sluggard and the slothful, is not to take place for the believer until after Jesus' return. The book of Hebrews states in chapter 4, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." Since the promise of entering into his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Chapter 4, verse 3 in Hebrews, "Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest, but the obedient and faithful ones will enter into our Lord's rest." We will enjoy the Lord's Sabbath after judgment day. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." Make every effort to enter that rest. The effort is not to gain salvation. The effort is to be faithful with all that we have been given. We don't make an effort for salvation. Salvation's given to us without any effort on our part. It's free. if Americans can believe anything is truly free, the gift of grace is truly free. The every effort we are to make is to be faithful with all that we have been given. And in faithfulness and to the faithful, the promised rest comes. Amen.